This is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Netflix switcheroo Christmas movies.
Hi, I'm Jax, and I can say again with joy in my heart after this week's movie, I really like Netflix Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo, and my faith has been restored in Netflix Christmas movies.
I'm Dan, and it should come as no surprise to you that I despise Netflix Christmas movies, and this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. I know that I've messed up the intro like at least six straight times when we're not, not the three of us.
Right.
But to be fair, we release all of these under one Deck the Hallmark feed. Right?
Yeah, but okay. In the title of each episode, if it's not Deck the Hallmark, it's Deck the Netflix.
I'm going to get it. By the end of the Christmas season, I'm going to get it. I'm watching a lot of movies, Bran. I'm doing a lot. Doing a lot of things.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Do the best I can.
And but we're not doing nearly as much as Vanessa Hudgens.
Well, no, not in just these three movies. I mean, you know.
It's a big week for the Hutch. She's got this, got Tick, Tick, Boom tomorrow.
Oh, that's Hudgens as well.
It's a big week for the Hutch.
Man, she's got her head in the game.
Yeah, okay.
We did.
Yeah. Alonzo, Jax, welcome back to Deck the Netflix. How are you?
Dandy.
Yeah, really good after this one. I'm not going to lie.
Now, Jax, you hadn't seen one or two.
We did get a text in the middle of the week, which clearly I inferred that you had watched them. If not, then it was a very weird text to receive. But you texted the group thread and you said that Vanessa Hudgens is a national treasure.
She is national treasure. And I have to say, I have to be honest, though, that was I did not get to one or two. It's solely based on her tour de force performance in three.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. But you skipped straight to three and you thought she was a national treasure.
You get a little the synopsis at the beginning. Yeah. Were you lost?
I wasn't lost, but I think what was funny is that my fiance Alex watched it with me, but he came in about a quarter of the way through it and hadn't seen one or two. And he goes, whoa, okay, these are a lot more complicated than Hallmark movies. He's like, I usually can pop in whenever, but you are gonna have to explain things to me, like when we're watching an action movie and I have no idea what's happening. And I'm not trying to do gender stereotypes, I just can't follow those.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Very excited about this. It's the third one. I don't know if we'll get a fourth. I don't know
what's left to do unless you introduce a fourth Vanessa Hudgens character. I think we've exhausted all options here.
They continue to.
Oh, never say never, Daniel.
Never say never. Power to the power of the princess switch. Do you guys want to dive in and do a little synopsis?
Let's do it.
Oh,
let's do it. The Princess Switch 3, Romancing the Star. That's what it's called.
Take on what movie? Take on what movie?
Romancing the Farm.
Oh my gosh.
No, it's not Romancing the Farm.
It even starts with the same two
Romancing
letters.
Stepford Wife.
Do you really not know?
No, I don't know.
Romancing the Stone.
Romancing Stone?
The Stone.
Who's Stone?
Oh my gosh. Just read the synopsis.
It originally aired on November 18th on Netflix, and it went a little something like this. We get a synopsis. It was what I tried to do here. Switch and synopsis combined into one. A switchnopsis.
It was not super successful.
Thank you.
I wish you hadn't.
Okay, well. catching us up on the first two movies. You're welcome, Jax. Apparently, the Vatican is letting Lady Margaret and Montanaro borrow the Star of Peace that belonged to Saint Nick himself. It showed up. There's a big, you know, little celebration about it coming into town.
An unboxing video.
An unboxing video. That's exactly right. And Princess Stacy and Prince Edward are also there, and so is Margaret's husband, Nick. Margaret and Stacy are busy hearing yodelers yodel and choirs choir when they find out that someone broke in and stole the star. The police think it could have been an inside job, but they don't really know yet. So they don't want to make it public. Since the police are no help here, they decide to call in the most corrupt person they know, Cuzzy Fiona. She's bad and will think bad and therefore be able to find the star. She's out of jail doing community service at a, what do you call it?
Convent.
Yeah. So it's going well.
Romancing the stone.
The stone. Yeah. So Fiona shows up and is like, let me go talk to my bad boy, Bud Peter. We used to date. He's a bad boy.
It sounded like his name was Bud Peter there.
Okay. It's bad boy Bud.
Bud Peter. Nice professional bad boy.
Peter knows stuff and has gadgets, so it shouldn't be hard to find the star, and it's not. He figured out that a hotshot hotel tycoon took that sucker. So Peter and Fiona pitch an idea to the group. We steal it back. Well, that's not a bad idea. Also, it turns out that this hotel tycoon is none other than Will Kemp, everybody. How you doing, pal? So Fiona and her two pals agree to join Peter for the heist. The two pals from the second one. You remember those two?
Yep. Sure do.
In the days, I will give you $1 million if you know both of their names.
Sophie and Rizzy.
Sure. Here's $1 million. In the days leading up to this, Peter and Fiona spend a ton of time together, really, you know, chummy. Despite having quite the past and all the chemistry, they claim to have no feelings. Liars! But that doesn't stop Peter from helicoptering her to an ice skating rink and slow dancing with her in the middle of the ice skating rink while people skate around them. It's romantic. They almost kiss, but end up slipping on the ice, falling, and laughing. They're preparing for the heist, and Fiona shows off her flexible skills and how that could come in handy with lasers and stuff. If you got to jump around them, she can do that. But she needs to be at the party with Will Kemp. So how is she going to be with Will Kemp?
It's a princess switch.
Turn it over and switch. Lady Margaret agrees.
Margaret, thank you very much.
I'm so sorry. Queen Margaret.
Decorum.
Agrees to act like Fiona so that Fiona can go down to the basement and be flexible. Fiona trains her in the art of being Fiona, and Margaret crushes it as she does. Peter asks Fiona on a date. Says, hey, after this whole thing's over, we should, you know, do a little something. And she says no. And they get in a little fight, and he offends her by saying, you're just like your mom. It's heist night, everybody, and they all go to the party. Stacy gets a call, and apparently the disciplinary people that were going to meet with Fiona after the holiday to check up on her and let her know if she needs to do all the community service or not, they need to do it before Christmas. And so what do we do here?
A princess switch.
It's three. It's a switcheroo. Stacy decides, I could do it. She dresses up like Fiona and goes on her way. At the party, Margaret and Will Kemp tango while Fiona does her type of laser tag thing where she goes over.
There is no laser tag.
It's a laser, like, tag, you're in, I'm going over now type of thing. She hops over lasers is the long end of the short end. They get to the crown, but the alarm goes off anyway. So she runs out with the crown and in a bag, and Peter says, I'll distract him. Stacy and the prince, what? Oh, they convinced the discipline crew to let Fiona off the hook. So good. That was important. They all meet back at the castle, and when they open the bag, no crown, just basketball. Get your head in the game. Peter stole the crown. She gets a text from Peter saying to meet at this boarding school that they went to as kids, but doesn't tell anybody about this text because, you know, why would she? She says, I'm actually going to leave the country and not spend Christmas with the family. She shows up, and Peter got Fiona's mom to show up, and there's a big pass there. Fiona's mom's essentially the worst is what you need to know. Fiona's mom's trying to make things right, but she doesn't want to, and she gets really mad at Peter for putting her in this position. But she ultimately ends up giving her a change of heart and hugging her and bringing the crown back to the castle because Peter gave that to her as a solid, I guess. So it's the night of the big Christmas tree lighting, and everyone is there, and the star is on top of the tree, and Fiona sees everybody loving each other and kissing, and she's sad. And then Peter shows up and said, you can't get rid of me that easily. The tree is lit, and boy, is it lit.
Oh, yeah.
The fireworks fire, and Vanessa Hudgens kisses three different guys back to back to back the way God intended. And that, my friends, was the Princess Switch 3, Romancing the Star.
We did it.
I realized that in the synopsis, I was saying crown, and when I said crown, I meant star.
Star, yeah. So, and you said prince, you meant king. There's a whole lot. There's a lot there, I think.
I will say the words that I said, because I couldn't remember who, was from, I took it from Wiki. So I wasn't making any assumptions. Yeah. I was taking it from the listing of their names on,
as you
on the line. Because I couldn't remember who's a prince and a queen and a lady.
It's tough. And where Kevin is, whole movie, it's a whole thing.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll break this movie down with four segments. Let everyone know our thoughts on it here on Thank You Netflix. We're back and better than ever.
Than ever. Right now. If Jax's sister came on the show, that would be the only way to improve.
We all wish she was here. That's right. Both you her and Panda instead of anyone else. Like That's people right. are asking. We will get right. them. We will get them.
You know what the listeners at home love is when we bring back callbacks to things they weren't privy to.
I don't know if you know this, but I act exactly like I do off camera and mic that I do on.
They just, people at home, they're just like, I don't know what that's about, but I'm sure it was great. Let's talk Princess Switch 3. Let's start with a hot take. Tell everybody exactly how I felt about this movie. Jax, first Princess Switch movie for you is the third one. How'd you feel about it?
My heart is beating so fast right now. First of all, I want to come clean. I was having an in joke. I thought I wanted to be cool with my boys, Alonzo and Dan, like I knew, like we were all in on it. It was Romancing the Stone. I didn't know either brand, and I want to come clean that I also didn't know. So just, I want to say that up top, I felt cool pretending like I was in the know. It was not the case. Okay.
Jax is talking trash. What a moron. Jax
is 11. Brand doesn't know anything.
Look at him over there. I guess just us guys know these things. No, I'm sorry, Bran. I didn't know either, and I'm coming clean.
Romancing the Farm. You thought it was Romancing the Farm, right?
Yeah.
Definitely Romancing the Farm.
Yeah. I love this movie. I don't even care about the plot. I just need to say this, and I did text you guys this. This woman is national treasure. I have my master's in acting from a classical theater training program where one semester we spent entirely focusing on how to play status. I could have saved myself the time and just watched The Princess Switch. Honestly, anyone come at me. This woman is doing brilliant work. She's number 1, 2, and 3 on the call sheet. Not only is she funny, but she's able to do these switcheroos where not only is she playing other people, but she's playing other people, then playing the other person. She's able to have chemistry with herself. And not only that, her wacky slapstick humor is on point, as is equally her smaller moments of truth and beauty and vulnerability. And she is just a queen. I love this woman, and this honestly, it's a masterclass in acting, and anyone who says differently will have to fight me.
This is how we sounded after Princess Switch 1. This is what we sounded like. Yeah. Like this.
Oh,
is
really?
Okay,
this is just normal.
We all rave about.
Well, this is the normal reaction when you come in contact with V. Hutch for the first time. V. Hutch
playing two different roles. Yeah. And in the first one, they let her really stretch out on some of that slapstick humor, and they have more time to have that back and forth training. And she's amazing in those scenes. You should watch the first one. Like, legitimately, you should watch.
Okay, so I actually did not know, Dan. You actually did like her performance in the first
one. Yes. The first movie, I said, not only was the movie, like, palatable, like, it was fine for a movie, but she is so dynamic and so engaging and so talented. And what they do in the first one, I think, really shows those skills better than kind of, if you've not seen the first two, I get it. And I'll save my hot take for later, but I think the first one is the one where you're like, oh my gosh, this girl can act. Like she is something. And it's her show. It just is. It just is embarrassing that Candace Cameron Bure played twins and we had to watch it. after watching this.
Alonzo, I'm so sorry that you had the experience in reverse, because it was fine if you didn't already see this. So sorry. Go ahead, Alonzo. Yeah, yeah.
Alonzo, hit us with your thoughts. Three deep here.
Yeah. You know, look, I still find these movies charming, mainly on Vanessa Hudgens' shoulders, you know, and the contrivances required to get her to a place like, well, gotta do this again, you know, which is, that's hard to write yourself into that particular corner. And this movie makes you wait for the switching. I have to say, like, you're a good 40 minutes in, I'm like, is she not gonna switch? Like, what's that even happening here? And then suddenly all the switching is happening. It's like, oh, okay, we're in good hands. Fiona is probably the least interesting of the three characters, but it's clearly the one that she has the most fun playing. So she's having a good time. And so ultimately I wind up having a good time too. Two hunky hunks in this movie. You know, I think I prefer Will Kemp as a villain. Frankly, I think that
he's
so good.
So good.
Yeah. I think that's so more his wheelhouse, and he still gets to dance, so that's fine. Everybody wins on that.
His contract. Don't make me dance.
Please. Don't make me dance. You know, why else would you even have him here? And then I have to say, I was not familiar with Remy High, but hi, Remy High. He is appealing. And Amanda Donahoe as the mom. You know, British actress from way back, like, did a couple of Ken Russell movies back in the day. So exciting to see her too.
To be fair to his sequel, how do they make this? My rule of thumb is they made a Weekend at Bernie's 2. And if we can have two movies where they have a corpse trying to pass as living, then we can do anything at least twice, I believe. That's my rule of thumb. Weekend at Bernie's again.
That door has been opened.
That's right.
There's no way the corpse lasts.
Still dead. Weekend at Bernie's 2, colon, still dead.
Corpse lasted two movies.
Corpse, like, they've embalmed that.
Taxidermy.
It's just phenomenal. So, yeah, I said in our preview show, Daniel, remember, you listened.
Yeah, I listened. I was there for that.
That while I was plenty excited about a third Princess Switch, I was hoping this year we would have gotten something else Christmassy and Vanessa Hudgens. Just, you know, we've seen two. What can we do? I was wrong. Not only did I love this, I want another. Just keep them coming. We can keep going until the good Lord himself comes back, because and maybe that's what he's waiting for. More of these. We need to get at least six, and then the Lord will come back.
So God's up there and he's like, I should come back. Wait a minute. We need more.
The Lord was actually ready to come back, and then he saw the first one. And it was like,
whoa.
You know what?
Is there going to be a sequel?
I wait a couple more years. Sorry, everybody at home. Yeah. I loved this movie. I thought it was so much fun. I started the movie with Fiona being my least favorite, and I loved her by the end of this movie.
That's because by the end, everyone is Fiona. All three of them are Fiona.
And they redeem her in this one and make her nice.
Fiona's great. I love her. Yeah. I love it when she says cuzzy. It's my favorite. Yeah. I will say, you know, Stacy had just nothing to do in this movie. And that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Like, that third switch was quite the stretch of a switch. So that's unfortunate, because I really like Stacy, and I know I'm talking about the same person, guys. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. But, you know, but overall, really loved it. And bring me a fourth one next year, please, Netflix.
So I agree with a lot of what Alonzo said, but thumbs down for me. Like, it's this thing where it's like, there isn't, what was cool about the first movie is there is a legitimate princess switch. So one princess doesn't play a different role. Both princesses have to play a different role, or both characters are, and that's where you see Vanessa Hudgens shine, because she's actually doing this thing where she's a character playing another character while that other character is playing her other character. This movie doesn't have a princess switch in it. All the two normal Vanessa Hudgens both have to impersonate the out of the box Vanessa Hudgens, and so you never get that full immersion in it. And also, I don't know if anyone's mentioned this yet. It's the third one. A lot of this movie I felt is just like, why are we here? What are we doing? Money grab. But Vanessa Hudgens is completely charming and incredibly dynamic. Will Kemp, this is on Hallmark. I go back and listen to some episodes of me talk about Will Kemp doing Hallmark movies. Never been a fan. Never thought that he brings a lot. It's not Will Kemp. It just isn't, because he's great in this. He's diabolical. He's fun. He does an amazing job. I feel like a lot of the characters, though, are relegated to standing and watching for a lot of this movie. Kevin, Stacy, you know, a lot of these characters that we actually liked in the first one are relegated to standing and watching. A lot of interesting choices made in the last 30 minutes of the movie. It's too long. I just am worn down. I don't need any more Princess Switch movies. Let's let Vanessa Hudgens do something else that we can watch, because I think that she is more than capable, and we can tell. And if you're going to do another one, Netflix, give me a fourth V. Hudge character. Let's see her. We know what she can do now. Like, let's push Michael Jordan to the limits, right? Let's go and let's see her be all three. Let's do a Linorama. Let's have her have
being
to be
John three. Malkovich, where she's everybody in the movie.
That's right. She's playing other characters.
How about a Princess Switch family reunion?
Yeah.
And they show up and they're just the all her and like,
yes. I just feel like, you know, this is miles better than Father Christmas is Back, It's not what I want to watch from Netflix. And I just feel like we get it. We understand. I appreciate everyone involved. It's clear they're having fun, as Alonzo said, but no, I'm fine not ever watching these. I think you could watch one of these and just every Christmas go back and watch the first one over and over again. And I think you'd be just as happy as new sequels, in my opinion.
Mm. All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So God can come back whenever he wants. We're giving him permission.
I just heard back and he said, I need one more.
Okay.
So,
okay.
All right. Let's go to all the feels, everybody. When we're talking about one of the two, he gave us his feels. I'll start with you, Jax.
I mean, when I find someone to fangirl out over that was undiscovered terrain for me before, my heart was a pumping for V. Hudge throughout this entire movie. But the feelings, different types of feelings for all the feels, when she does that gymnastic situation with the lasers, I do not know if I've ever seen someone operate their instrument in a more sensual and glorious way.
May I introduce you to Entrapment with Catherine Zeta-Jones and Sean Connery? That is what I felt. That whole scene, I was like, this is, do you know what I'm talking about, Alonzo?
I do. That's totally what they're knocking off here.
Yeah. That is it's a full takeoff on it. But I will say, this movie was the sexiest of the three movies. You have that and you have the tango. There's a lot happening here.
When Will Kemp says, "Would you like to see my Christmas tree?" It's like, yes. Whoa, what?
Oh no, there's more coming. Like he also does a full bit about trying to get her upstairs and has a line of dialogue that I don't think I'm even going to repeat. That's even more, I think, like it's a sexy movie, but that scene with her learning it, even the before they actually do it, mm-hmm. It's like, oh my goodness, we took a full 3 minutes here to really like to showcase this.
But we needed it. Like, I did, at least, as someone who has not seen the... And I will say that it had me feeling all the feels, her relationship with her mom, and the fact that it's very difficult for her to be vulnerable, and you see this is why she's put up these walls. Say what you want. The Hudge is, like, the work that she can do with her eyes with the not cry, cry is very difficult. And you can tell there's so much internal stuff happening, but she's holding it all in and repressing it, or at least that's what it looked like to me as a viewer. And that gave me all the feelings because she was pushing it down. So I was able to just cry on her behalf. And yeah, I was in my feelings for this one. I loved it.
Alonzo?
Definitely Christmas feels, because I love the way that this plot is inherently not Christmas specific, for all three of these movies, they figure out a way to wedge in as much Christmas as possible and to make the action somehow revolve around Christmas for some reason or other. You know, this movie is the king of why have one Christmas tree in a parlor when you can have three of them.
That's
you know?
Right. Yeah.
So I do love how they just force feed you as much holiday cheer as they can. I love that we have a Netflix Christmas universe, that the Christmas Prince movies are canonical in these films. And in fact, we get the
another reference,
the conniving, you know, cousin who almost takes the throne of Aldovia.
Simon.
Isn't Simon good now, though? Didn't he Simon redeem himself?
He started out as a villain. Now he's good, like Fiona. So I love that kind of crossover. It gave me candy cane feels when she is like working that candy cane to a spike, because that's what happens when you put them in your mouth, and then it goes to have the candy cane martini. I paused the movie and got up and got a candy cane.
Wow.
A Linoleum Dive fan sent me a box of Red Hot's cinnamon candy cane.
Oh, come on.
That was a treat.
Alonzo went down the candy cane lane.
Da-da. With that me. And then, the idea of this movie is going to become a caper that involves stealing jewelry with lasers and distracting the guy with a tango. I'm in for that kind of nonsense. I love it.
I feel like I've had the same feels for all of these movies, but I always forget about it. And then when I see the castle for the first time decorated for Christmas, the outside of the castle, it blows me away every time. There's literally, columns, and in between each of those columns, there's a Christmas tree. Every single column, just outside, it's all Christmas trees. I don't really care about castles. Pan is the castle boy.
He's a castle boy.
But yeah. If all of castles were this castle decorated for Christmas, I would be the biggest. I would go to Castle Boy Con every year. First in line at Castle Boy Con.
That's bold.
If every castle was like this.
Yeah. My feels tend to be the same every movie, and it's always a moment where Hudgens goes above and beyond to showcase you that she's acting as one character, but the character underneath is there and doesn't do it exactly right. And for me, it's the moment where she goes, Stacy has to go do basically the parole board at the convent, which is a sentence you should never say. but she goes in front of it and they say you're late. And she says, I'm not late, power man. I'm fashionably late. And she says it in this way that Fiona actually would never say it, but it sounds like it's like Fiona adjacent. You know what I mean? Like,
no, yes. That part was brilliant.
And it's
perfect.
Like, I laughed. You got an audible laugh for me, because it's like, this is someone playing someone else. They're not going to do it perfect. That is,
but it's not bad. And that's what makes it so good. Like, I hate when people go so, I agree with you. That was so good.
The best, her best attempts to be incognito and play a character. And it is the perfect imperfection of it that I am consistently amazed with. Did I need a third one of these? No. Is it just turns into just absolute just hogwash by the end? Yeah. But that was impressive, and I'm here for it.
This one or Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Boy, Weekend at Bernie's 2 is a classic. I mean, how many times can you resuscitate a corpse a second time?
You said it, pal. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back here.
Gotta dig that up.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. We're here. We're at the Wait What part of the show, where we talk about one of the things we made us go, wait, what? I'm going to start with you, Jax. Jax, what are you waiting on? What you wanting here?
What am I waiting? What am I wanting? I was wondering if, and sorry, I am going to get all the names mixed up because just everyone is V. Hudge to me.
That's
but
right. Yeah.
When Queen Margaret is playing Fiona and she deliciously plants one on Will Kemp, who I agree is the perfect villain in this. Is she going to have a discussion later with her husband and let him know?
Yeah.
No judgment. I was glad for it. I think it was necessary. I would have said it was necessary if I was her.
Most marriages have a cosplaying clause.
Yeah. Cosplay clause. Saw them live.
So good.
Well,
it's multiple Santa Clauses.
Wow. It is. You're right. And one of them's the real one. The rest of them are faking it.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yes. So to that point, Alonzo, I want to know if she did tell her husband that she's activated the cosplay clause. Yeah.
No, not going to say
that. Was it.
This is a family show.
I didn't even know that. But yes, that was my only sort of Wait, what? Because I was just here for this romp. Oh, I did want to know where our hottie leading man, what's his name?
Which one? Oh, Peter? Remy High.
Peter Remy. I just want to know where he got the basketball.
Yeah. That whole thing, I just put down, but why would Peter do that? I put that because all of that, where did he get the basketball? He switched it because
he does it because the only way that Fiona's going to fall in love with him is if she works out her issues with her mother. So he has to force her to come to the school to meet with the mother so they can have the conversation that they haven't had in 20 years so that Fiona can be a new person and can be open to romance.
And he thinks literally lying to her by stealing a 4th century artifact is the way to go about that.
Yes.
Wow.
It does work.
You don't?
It does work.
Man. Oldest trick in the book, Dan.
You wouldn't get it. Alonzo?
Okay, so at the convent of our sister of perpetual mugging, we have Fiona scrubbing the floors in her like crazy blonde hair with the roots. And I'm thinking like, what nun is touching up that Khaleesi do, you know? And later in the movie, you do see her carrying a couple of like wig stands with different blonde wigs on them. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's an explanation, but it's like, you're still going to wear that while scrubbing the floors of a convent? Like, just give yourself a break and just put on like a nice head wrap and like, you know, let's just move past it.
Fashion with Alonzo.
I'm about practicality here. Is Will Kemp wearing an evil nose?
Ooh, I didn't notice that, but there were
angles where I was like, "Does he have like a fake nose to make him look more villainous, or is it just the acting?" I wasn't entirely sure.
What's the name of that actor who used to build his characters starting with the nose? Does anyone know about this? Get in the comments. He would start from anyway. I didn't notice that, Alonzo, but now we're gonna go back and have.
Well, because a lot of times people say, "Once I have the shoes, I know the character," but Will Kemp has to wear dancing the shoes.
So, that's right. Yeah, dancing nose. Shoes.
The other big one was, okay, so they spring Fiona from the convent for the holidays to track down this priceless jewel thing. They get her henches out of jail, her two sidekicks. And then at the end, they're all going to go fly off to Capri. It's like, the two henches have to go back to jail? Like, they didn't get pardoned by the parole board. Only Fiona did. I don't know. Are they on the lam now? Like, I'm unclear about what their status is.
What they do in the second movie, Jax, and this does undercut a little bit of the fun of the third one, in my opinion.
And she mentions it in this one.
What they do in the third one is a full-on crime. Like, probably, you know, years in jail. And they
kidnap
like
Stacy, thinking that she's Margaret.
But they also bag her, drug her, and put her in a room.
Yeah.
Like no wonder she's more upset about it.
Yeah. It's a full drugging, kidnapping, holding hostage situation.
I was wondering why she was more upset. Margaret's like, let us forgive Maggie Moo. And like Stacy's like, maybe I'm a little less inclined. That makes sense now. Thank you.
That whole crime.
Sorry, cuzzy.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry.
That's all me. Is that it, Alonzo?
Yes, sir.
At one point, Peter notices that Fiona has something on her cheek. And so he goes over and he could not have been less helpful in getting that out. Like, it's just kind of like, and then he just stops. He doesn't actually do any wrong. He just kind of, here's my hand. Could not have been less helpful. I'm pretty sure it's still there to this day. When they're leaving the party, they're in a hurry. And they get inside the pink vehicle and they drive off. And when they speed off, there's like a horn, like someone driving by is honking at them, but there's no one driving by. It's just like, it was like instead of the squealed wheels sound effect, they accidentally put a horn in. And that's what it sounded like. It made no sense.
Put the wrong in. It's funny.
Well, they don't just squeal on snow, so you got to do something.
That's right. Okay, we're leaving. We stole the thing and we're leaving. last but not least, at the end of this movie or towards the end of the movie, Fiona's having a conversation with somebody over on the other side of the room, and Margaret's on the other side of the room and she wants to listen in. And so she's just kind of like, what's going on over here? And all I could think is, you're queen. Like, you can do whatever you want. There's nothing stopping you. No one's going to stop you from going over there and just listening in on that conversation. And you also can't possibly hear it from over there. No. I don't know. It was just a whole rigmarole. What are you up to over there?
Yeah.
Dan?
This is one of these movies where you really don't need to think about anything too much. And that makes the wait what section less fun, because, you know, where did he get a basketball? And that's a great one. You know what I mean? But most of mine center around this fourth century artifact that they throw around like it's, you know, like a 1990s French horn. Like, they're just like, it's kind of old and important, but we don't know, you know, like, or St. Nicholas, like the original Santa Claus, fourth century, had a star that was bejeweled that he put on his tree. That's the way we're supposed to understand this. And then they will literally give this thing out to anyone who asks for it. That's what I understand. And then go ahead, Alonzo.
No, say, who will then themselves display it, not in a museum behind a glass case, but at the top of a Christmas tree.
That's right. They're going to put this thing on top of a Christmas tree.
Outside.
On top of an outside real-life four-story Christmas tree. They're going to put a fourth century, okay?
Elements be damned.
In the 300s, the 300s AD, okay? That is a long time ago. 1700, Fiona 1800 comes walking years
in,
ago.
Fiona comes walking in with it in her bare hands, and the guy who is like in charge of it is just like, oh, there it is. Good to see it.
And then they're like, oh my goodness, look at this. And they're like, we gave it a polish. You did what now?
Balsam Hill guarantee lasts a very long time.
You just took out like some Windex and were like, let me give this a quick spit shine. It's only 1800 years old. They spray it on there. The whole thing just patinas, just like done. I couldn't get over just the cavalier attitude. The only person in this movie that's treating this with the respect it deserves is the villain.
Yeah.
Like, he at least has this, you know, in what appears to be some sort of humidor and climate control. And like, he's the one that's like, hey, this is a this is going to disintegrate if we don't treat it. It's 1800 years old, people. Like, the guy at the end of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is like, man, that's old. Like, it's just old. It's very hard to wrap my brain around why. And the church is just like, yeah, we just flip with who wants it this year. Sign up for the raffle. Like, I don't know how that's possible. And then the other one that I have, and this is, it's just tough sledding. Will Kemp has what has to be the worst security team on the planet. I don't know how else to say this. And this,
you mean
is
the two
everyone.
Guys?
This is from the guys watching the security cameras to the boots on the ground. They are all insufferably bad at their jobs and should be fired. The guys watching the screen, the alarm goes off, and he's like, should I push the button? His hands over the button. He's like, should I push it? The alarm's ringing. Should I push this button now? Let's think of this through. And then he decides.
If the alarm goes off, why do they need another alarm for the alarm?
All right.
Why is there a manual button?
Great question, because he's got a bunch of doofuses running it. But here's the thing. He sits and he decides not to push the button. And his reasoning is maybe a vibration from the music set off the secret alarm system. Maybe the music was like, the alarm was like, bam, bam. It was like the horn that you heard. Yeah. Maybe the alarm system was that finicky that heard some sort of vibration, was like, the alarm goes off. So then he decides, because of that reason, I'm not going to push it. Then he pushes it, and then they don't secure this building. There's two guys with flashlights, not guns, chasing after a group of idiots in a flower van filled with flowers for some reason. Still, why is the van filled with flowers? We don't know. But they can't catch them. They don't stop them. There's no walkie-talkies. It's two guys with Magnolites running around with an 1,800-year-old artifact in pursuit. It's bad. It's just not proper planning.
And mind you, the vibrations from the music, it's not like they had, you know, a noise metal band playing at this thing. No. It's a string quartet that does
tango. String quartet. Yes, they weren't dubstepping over there.
That tango, though, it's got that low end. And it just really just really does thumps. It's a tough thumper.
That's what I got.
We did. Nope. What the Netflix?
Nope. What part of the show. Netflix? What the Netflix do we got today, Brand? Hey, welcome to What's in the Flix. I'm Danny Flix. This is Brandy Flix. Welcome to What's in the Flix.
Oh, I hate you. That's where we wonder what could have been, maybe having some clarity questions that we still have. Jax, what are you still wondering about? What's going to keep you up at night in regards to this movie?
Well, something that tickles me, and that now I'm thinking that I know we're all in varying degrees of whether or not we need a fourth one. I say yes, having not watched the other two, but what I think would be really funny is, do you guys remember the whole Kristen Wiig sketch of like, don't ask me to sing. Okay, I'll sing thing.
I referenced it earlier. I said, don't make me dance.
I thought that's what you were doing, but then I wasn't sure if that was a Romancing the Stone moment. So I thought I got it.
I do a don't make me sing bit way more often than I should on this podcast.
Yeah, when I saw Christmas in Harmony, my immediate thought was Dan is going to do Don't Make Me Sing.
We all did it. You're right. You've listened to a few episodes.
It was Don't Make Me Sing the movie. I mean,
that's right. It really was. You're right. The whole movie, I'm not going to sing.
Speaking of Don't Make Me Sing the movie, I think it should be called Don't Ask Me to Switch. All right, I'll switch. Where she plays every character. And we don't even, it's the most ridiculous thing.
Oh, we couldn't. Oh, I guess we must.
We just got to do it. Like, that is what, because when Stacey had that moment where she had to switch for the parole hearing, and she was like, you saw the way she played it, or at least the way, and she was like, I mean, I guess I'll do it if I have to. And I'm like, oh, she's just jonesing to get that wig
That's
on.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, I'm humbly asking Brad Crevoy, the team, everyone who made this possible, V. Hudge, if she's not still recovering from what had to be an exhausting movie to film, I would love that for number four, but with a lot of self-awareness. And I think that that'll be extra magical. So that
I think
is my humble Christmas wish.
I think they should do a Princess Switch 4, but at Halloween. And for some reason, they have to switch and go to different parties.
Ooh.
So they're switched, but dressed up as... Oh. So it's layered. It's a layered switch.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. So Stacey
is dressed as Fiona, but pretending to be Margaret. Okay.
Yes.
I think John Woo directs the next one. And it's a face-off situation. faces are actually removed from each character scientifically to see if anyone can notice the difference.
I love
Okay. And also, I think that everyone needs to be hired to consult on this project because I'm loving all these ideas.
We're doing Let's the best make we can happen. What we got
We're
here.
Giving them away.
I'm into it.
Alonzo?
The only thing that kind of struck me as, moving onward is they make a big deal about, you know, Fiona to get in good with Will Kemp says, well, maybe I'll sell you my estate and you can turn it to a hotel. And everybody's like, what? Oh no, you would never sell Pembroke. And it's like, wealthy Brits sell their estates all the time when like the great, great grandchildren can no longer afford to maintain them. I don't know why it would be such a big deal that this unmarried, childless, blew through her dad's inheritance woman wouldn't just sell the estate so that she could continue jetting off to Capri and doing whatever it is she does. So that just kind of struck me as, there was a lot of pearl clutching over that. I'm like, no, of course she would sell the estate. Like, how has she not sold the estate already?
Wear your pearls. Mine is, I need to know about the person who installed the pressure sensitive security that the star was on. Because from my understanding, with pressure sensitive security systems like that, it's like down to the ounce, the gram. Like you put it on and then you set it and you forget it.
The Indiana Jones sandbag has to be precise.
That's right.
And so you just go like this and then take your glove off and put whatever. Yeah. That is tweezers. It's a bad system.
It's a bad system.
And I want to know who that person was
in bad employees.
Yeah. And and how what his reaction is when he finds out.
It's of that, a piece with the rest of the security, I think.
That's right. Yeah. Part and parcel.
Part and parcel.
I've got two. One is the church loaned the Christmas star to a guy named Harry the Horrible. I got to hear that. I know they tell a little bit of that story. I'd love to see who what Harry looks like. And why they thought he was trustworthy.
He won
the raffle.
Won the raffle.
The biggest one is that this movie is so unrealistic in every way except for one, and that is that rich people don't go to prison. And so I would love to see them find a way to make if we're gonna do a fourth one, like let's let Fiona and those two go to prison somehow together. And then they got to get her out of prison, but make sure she stays in prison. And so one of the queens has to actually go to prison. See, now we're doing something here. Mm. And we have actual consequences for rich people, which would be wild. So that's what I've got.
That would be wild.
Jax is in. I can see it already.
I do not hate that. I'm intrigued. And I like that there's accountability for rich people.
I love it.
Or we go full Tale of Two Cities and there's a revolution being led by the fourth Vanessa Hudgens character.
Yes, in prison.
Yeah.
There's one in prison that shouldn't be in prison. Oh, man. It writes itself.
It's a Weekend at Bernie's situation.
There's a dead Vanessa.
Dead Vanessa Hudgens.
They all take turns playing dead.
It's Margaret's dead mommy. They bring her back. It's a whole thing. We did, everybody. Congratulations. We are off next Saturday because it's Thanksgiving.
Of course.
Weekend. So we're not, I mean, yeah. Why would you listen to us? No. And why would we do it? And so we'll be back the following week with another one. I think it's The Boy Called Christmas. It's a big, it's the big one.
Oh, wait, are we not recording? I canceled Thanksgiving with my family.
Yeah, we're not recording Thursday.
Okay, cool. No worries. Listen, I'll see if I can.
I can come by. We'll have Thanksgiving together, just the four of us.
Super great.
Popcorn, yeah, toast, cold cereal.
Oh, it's awesome.
All the staples.
Yes. Until 2 weeks from now and until tomorrow, if you're just, you know, here for Deck the Hallmark. Well, nope, Monday.
We'll do Sunday episodes.
No, gosh, I need a break, clearly. Yeah. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmark's a Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.